Welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast. If you love tennis and want to improve your game, this podcast is for you. Whether it's technique, strategy, equipment, or the mental game, tennis professional Ian Westerman is here to make you a better player. And now, here's Ian.
Hi, and welcome to episode number 19 of the Essential Tennis Podcast. If you love tennis and you want to improve your game, then this is the place for you to be. Every week I record two podcasts, and it's always my number one goal to put out content that's going to be helpful to the game of the tennis enthusiast everywhere. So thank you for joining me today, for downloading the file. If I can ever help you in any part of your game, whether it has to be with technique or strategy or mental game, or maybe your fitness and conditioning, or even your equipment, always feel free to let me know by going to EssentialTennis.com and sending me your question. I'd be happy to help you out.
And now it's time for the Essential Tennis Focus topic of the week.
All right, our focus topic of the week is a single word, and that word is up. The word up is very important to your tennis game. In my teaching, I find that the direction of up is something that very few recreational level players understand. And it's something, it's a direction that you have to be aware that you need in order to hit certain shots in tennis. For the most part, everybody focuses on forwards. And here I'm talking about technique. I'm talking about how to swing your racket. Everybody knows that you have to swing forwards because typically that's what people focus on, is the forward direction of the ball. People are interested in hitting the ball at their opponent's side. They want power. They want to hit the ball strongly. And certainly right and left come into play as well. You want to aim the ball to one side or the other in order to hit an effective shot and play whatever strategy you're trying to implement. But the upward direction is something that's very, very critical. And I find that as I teach technique to people to improve their game, the direction of up is something that they haven't really considered before. Or sometimes people actually think that the direction of their swing should be down, and it's exactly the opposite. So we're going to go over three different strokes, and I'm going to talk to you about why the direction of up is important to each of those strokes. It's very essential that you understand this. The first stroke I'm going to talk about is ground strokes, either forehand or backhand. It's very important that you have a good upward swing to your ground strokes. Now, throughout the history of tennis, there has always been an element of lifting the ball. If you look at old school video or photos, typically the classic finishing point for a forehand or a backhand ground stroke was with the racket out in front and with the hand up about shoulder height or so. And so typically a player would finish the follow through kind of looking at his racket or past his racket and then towards his target. As time has gone on and players have started to desire more spin and more power, a longer swing has been necessary. To create more acceleration and more racket head speed, you need a longer stroke. And so that's not so much the case. Anyway, my point is, even back in the olden days of tennis, there was still an upward element to a ground stroke swing. The first essential thing you have to establish in your ground stroke is lift. If you cannot lift the ball, you cannot make a ground stroke. Typically, your ground strokes are hit from around the baseline, maybe a little bit in front of the baseline, maybe a little bit behind the baseline, but typically someplace around the baseline is where you're going to be making contact. If you stand on the baseline and look over to your opponent's side, you cannot look over the net and into your opponent's half of the court. You have to look through the net in order to see their side of the court. So that means when you hit your ground stroke, you have to hit the ball upwards to hit it over the net first and then to the other side. If all you do is just hit the ball forwards and focus on power, it's possible to make it. If you just barely inch it over the top of the net, you can hit just a drive and just hit the ball forwards and hit it over with minimal lift, maybe by lifting just a little bit and focusing all your efforts on hitting straight. Or you can open the face a little bit to get the ball just high enough to make it over the net. But the problem with that is you have very little margin for error. When you clear the net by a small amount and you're hitting the ball in a straight line, first of all, you're risking hitting the net at a much, much higher rate, much more often. And secondly, if you hit the ball just a little bit too hard, when the ball is traveling straight and flat, it's going to go out much more easily than if you curve the ball. So the only way to curve the ball is with topspin, and the only way to make topspin is to swing upwards. It's physically impossible to hit topspin unless you have a good vertical element to your ground stroke swing. If you swing straight, you cannot make topspin. So the two main reasons why you have to be good at swinging upwards on your ground strokes is first and foremost to lift the ball, to get it to over the top of the net in the first place so that you at least have a chance of making the shot. And then secondly, the reason why you have to swing upwards well is to make topspin, to make the ball rotate towards your opponent's side. And once the ball has been lifted high over the top of the net, you need that topspin to then curve the ball back down again into your opponent's side. And so there should be an arc to the path of the ball on your ground strokes. This is only possible through making a good upward swing. Now, before I go any further, I still have two more strokes I want to talk about. Let me just clarify that I'm in no way stating that swinging upwards is all you have to do to hit a good solid ground stroke or any of these other shots I'm going to talk about. Certainly, being good at using your core and body to also accelerate forwards is also very important, and it's something that you need to understand and know how to do. However, as I said earlier, as I started, I find that most people have focused a lot of energy on swinging forwards, but don't really truly understand the importance of swinging upwards. So this is just a focus topic for today, the upward path of all these different swings. I'm not in any way saying that forwards isn't important as well. This is just a topic I chose to talk about today. So that's what we're going to focus on. Okay, next up, we're going to talk about the serve. The direction of up is extremely important on the serve, and it's really very widely misunderstood, the use of upward momentum and force, at least in my experience. I teach a very wide range of ability levels in the players that I coach, from beginner all the way up through 4.5 or 5.0. And very typically, in the first couple lessons that I have with a new student, as we get to the serve and start working on the serve, if I see that my student is having issues with hitting the net a lot, or if they just have consistency problems in general, they'll hit the net, then they'll miss long, then they'll hit the net again, then they'll miss long, kind of going back and forth. Very often I'll ask them, what direction do you think you should be hitting your serve? Upwards, straight, or downwards? And almost without fail, the answer from most people is either forwards or downwards. Some people will actually answer that they think a serve is a downward hit. That's a huge, huge misunderstanding and misconception. You do not spike a serve into the court. You're not hitting it downwards over the top of the net. It's in fact the opposite. On a good serve, you're swinging upwards. This is why high-level players get off the ground. What they're not doing is jumping in order to hit the ball from above and spike it at the court. They're not hitting a jump serve where they're jumping first and then spiking the ball down into the box. The reason why high-level players leave the ground is because of the huge amount of effort they're transferring upwards towards the ball. All that loading with their legs and with their core and with their shoulders, dropping all their weight down and back, meaning the shoulders, their shoulders are tilted back. Their weight is dropping down because their legs are bending down to prepare and coil. All that energy gets transferred upwards towards the ball, which is well up above them, and they're pushing off upwards to lift the ball and hit it over the top of the net. I mentioned during the ground stroke discussion, if you stand on the baseline and look at your opponent's side of the court, you can't see any of it from over the top of the net. You have to look through the net to see your opponent's side of the court. Well, the service box is not even close to being visible from over the top of the net. You really have to hit the ball upwards and have it come back down again quickly to make it into the service box. Now, obviously, on a serve, you're making contact much higher, and so that definitely helps. However, if you were to get a ladder, and I've done this with students, if you were to get a ladder and have a friend of yours stand there on the baseline and reach up with their racket, if you were to get a ladder and get behind them and get up on top of that ladder and look through their racket face towards their opponent's side, you would still not be seeing the service box. I remember reading before how tall you'd have to be to actually hit at the box. It's something like 8 feet or 9 feet or something like that. Trust me, you're not hitting at the box. You need to hit upwards on a serve in order to hit it well and hit it consistently. And the two main reasons why this has to be done are the same ones as the ground stroke. First and foremost, you have to lift the ball to get it to the other side of the court. If you hit the ball at the box, you're going to hit the net. And so the ball has to be lifted to get over the net and to the other side in the first place. So it's very important to understand the concept that you have to hit the ball upwards on a serve just to get it to the other side, period. Yeah, you can't think about anything else until the ball gets over the net. Same for ground strokes or any other shot in tennis. If the ball never gets over the height of the net, you will never be successful. So the number one reason why we have to swing upwards is to lift the ball. It has to get over the net. And then also, like ground strokes, spin is great because it helps the ball come back down again into the part of the court that you're aiming for. So swinging upwards not only lifts the ball over the net, but it then, if done correctly, the upward swing can then also rotate the ball to aid in the dropping back down into the box. And so like the ground strokes, if you want to have a high level of success, if you want to be consistent and make a lot of your serves, a curved ball flight is ideal. You don't want to be hitting straight and necessarily flat at the box all the time. You need to be good at also curving the ball so that you can consistently put a ball in play when you need to. And this would obviously be a big help on second serves. Now, don't get me wrong. Again, I gave kind of a little disclaimer a couple minutes ago. Hitting the ball forwards and hitting with power certainly is excellent. It's great. Something I want all of you guys to be able to do. It's very satisfying to be able to hit the ball with power and place it in the court. However, when it comes down to it, hitting the ball in the court, period, is more important than just being able to hit the ball hard. And so on a second serve, when the match is on the line, if all you have is a straight hit and you're just barely making it over the net and then barely inside the service line, when the pressure's on, that's a tough shot to make over and over and do it reliably. If you know how to hit the ball upwards with rotation and have it come back into the box, it very much increases the chances that you're going to make the shot. So making an upward swing is something that's very important. To practice doing this well, something that my coach when I was younger and learning how to play, something he had me do, and something that I have lots of my students do who have trouble understanding this or doing this well, is to serve from their knees. And this is just a great exercise. It's something I do to demonstrate to students the correct way to swing at the ball all the time. And a lot of times people will have the complaint, oh, well, I'm short, you know, I'm a guy and I'm only 5'7" or I'm 5'6". So I can't hit the ball hard. I can't hit with any pace. And that's just not true. From my knees, I can hit a pretty good serve in the box. And that's without using my legs to push at all, just using a good shoulder rotation and good pronation. You can hit a good serve from your knees. If you know how to swing upwards well and to spin the ball to get it back in the box, it's very possible to hit a strong serve from a kneeling position. And that's a good way to practice making an upward swing. It's only possible to hit a good solid serve in the box from your knees if you swing upwards correctly. If you get down on your knees and hit the ball straight, you will hit the net over and over and over. Or if you try to angle the ball upwards a little more to get it over the net and you hit it strongly and you just hit it straight, the ball will clear the net, but then it's going to sail way too far. It's not going to make it in the box. The only way to make it in the box with any force at all from your knees is to swing upwards well and to get that lift and then get that spin to bring it back into the box. All right, the last stroke or type of shot we're going to talk about when it comes to up is your volleys. Being able to hit the ball upwards on your volleys is essential if you ever want to have any touch or feel to your net game. Most volleys are going to be hit with an open racket face. And I'm talking about traditional volleys. If you're taking a swinging volley or like a ground stroke swing at your volley, then obviously this does not apply. What I'm talking about is a traditional volley where you're meeting the ball with a short, compact swing and you're blocking the ball and guiding the ball back towards your target. That should be hit with an open face the majority of the time. Now, if you can get close enough to the net to where you can actually see over the top of the net and at your opponent's side, if that's the case and you're making contact with the ball above the height of the net, then you can start to close your face and actually hit the ball at your opponent's side. And I encourage you to do that. I'm constantly encouraging my students and my lessons to get closer to the net as much as possible so that they can have as much advantage as possible over their opponents. The more you can see over the net and onto their actual side of the court, the easier it is to attack. And so you should be trying to get close to the net so that you have the angles to actually put the ball away. If you stay farther back on the service line and take the ball out of the air from there, chances are you're going to have your face open just to get the ball over to the other side of the net. Usually you're not going to be making contact with your volleys shoulder height from back on the service line. Usually by the time it's gotten to all the way to you on the service line, the ball will be lower than the height of the net, and you're going to have to open your face up to get the ball to the other side. So when you do come to the net, it's important to keep in mind that depending on where you are on the court and depending on how high your contact point is, your racket face is going to be different. And the majority of the time, it's going to have to be open. Again, I want you to get close enough to where you can close it. However, the majority of the time, it's going to have to be open because the net is going to be in the way between you and your target. So, in order just to make most volleys, you're going to have to hit upwards. If you want to ever have soft touch at the net and you want to have control and be able to angle the ball at the net or hit a drop volley or hit a volley lob, you're going to have to know how to hit upwards because that's the only way to drop the ball short or to hit a volley lob is with an open face and hitting the ball upwards. This is done with a relaxed hand to take pace off the ball and with a very open face to pop it up, and then hopefully you've hit it softly enough that it will then just make it and drop over, and it's going to be a nice short shot. Also for angle volleys, you can't hit most of your angle volleys with very much aggression because the court is shorter when you angle the ball, and a lot of your volleys, again, are going to be hit with an open face. So if you hit hard with an open face and angle the ball to a shorter part of the court, the ball is going to go out more easily. So a lot of your angle volleys when you're trying to angle the ball away from your opponents are going to have to be hit with an open face and a nice relaxed hand to keep the ball in play. That's how you hit a good, effective angle volley. And again, one more time, because I know I'm going to get comments back on this otherwise. If you do get close enough and the ball is high enough, then yes, I want you to close the face and hit more aggressively and hit the ball harder and put it away by facing your strains at your target. Ultimately, that's your goal, is to get close enough and force your opponent to pop the ball up so that you can put the ball away. However, a lot of your volleys are going to have to be hit with an open face. So just keep that in mind as you work on your volleys and continue to try to improve that part of your game.
And now it's time for Essential Tennis Q&A.
Our listener question from this week is one that was actually brought up a week or two ago and then was just submitted to me again by somebody else. Both Charles and Rich from the forums have both had a very similar question. And it's a good question. It's one that people who want to improve their tennis and want to go out and work at their game, this is something that you guys need to understand and get good at. And that's the skill of feeding and actually drilling. Here's the question that Charles sent to me. He said, "I think many people don't get better because they don't know how to structure a drill. And in particular, they don't know how to feed balls so the other person can practice. Is there some way to learn how to start with a basic drill and the skills needed to feed balls?" Charles. Well, yes, Charles. Charles sent that to me in an email, and then recently Rich on the Essential Tennis forums also asked, how do you feed correctly? And this is another one of those questions that Rich, in his question on the forums, was actually embarrassed to ask this. He said, this has got to be the dumbest question anybody's ever asked. And Rich, it's not. So many questions that I get from listeners, from everyday players, they seem to think that they're the only people that could possibly have a question about a certain topic, and it's just not true. This is something that a lot of people need to improve at. And if you go to a park, if you go to public courts, or even to a private tennis club, you'll see players with all kind of different ways to begin a rally or to feed to start a point. If you're playing a baseline game, and there's a lot of bad feeders out there, and there is a specific way that's best to begin a rally or to begin a point. Or if you have a partner that wants to work on their game, you guys can go and drill each other. You need to know how to feed correctly. So Charles asked for two things: how to feed well and also kind of basic drill structure. And I'm going to go over both those. First of all, feeding technique is important. First of all, you need to have a continental grip if you're going to be a good feeder. It is possible to hit a good feed with a different grip other than continental, but what a continental grip does is it puts the palm of your hand basically behind the racket face. And a continental grip is what you should be using for your volleys and also usually for your serve. And it's a good all-around grip to use. I myself use a continental grip when I teach, usually. It's a good all-around grip to use just to push the ball back in play using the palm of your hand. And it's good because it's not going to put a lot of spin on the ball unless you do something different with the actual stroke that you hit the ball with. The problem that Rich was having on the forums was a practice partner of his actually complained to him that he was feeding with a lot of topspin, and that's a very common thing. So Rich is probably using his regular forehand grip, which might be Eastern or semi-Western. I didn't ask him, but if he's putting topspin on the ball, it means that his grip has closed the face, and he's kind of hitting the ball upwards, and he's spinning the ball at his practice partner. If you want to hit a neutral shot, which is what your goal should be for a feed, is a neutral ball. So a ball with no spin, it's just flat and straight, and you can direct it easily. A continental grip is the best grip to have. Trust me, that's what you're going to want to have if you want to be good at feeding. Now, if you have problems finding a continental grip, let me know. You know what? I should do a segment on grips. Maybe I'll do that for the second podcast this week. We need to have a discussion on grips and how to find them. There's lots of websites that have different markers and ways to find what the different grips are. Maybe later this week I'll actually have a quick talk on that. But anyway, number one, you need to have a continental grip. Now, number two, once you have that grip, the path of your racket should be very much like that of a good volley. You should be hitting towards your target, directly towards where you're trying to hit the ball, and you should be hitting through the ball towards your target, not coming upwards, not hitting downwards or to the side of the ball. You're trying to hit a direct shot right at your target. And a continental grip is going to open your face up a little bit so that you can guide the ball out towards your target. And the open racket face is going to lift the ball up and let the ball come down softly instead of hitting hard or with spin. So you should start with the palm of your hand facing towards your target. You should turn to the side. And then as you hit, you should lift the ball up with the palm of your hand. And when you finish a good feed, your racket face should be facing up towards the sky or up towards the ceiling. The palm of your hand as well should be facing upwards. It should be wide open. And that should happen because you should have lifted the ball up into the air to allow it to get up into the air with no spin, and then have it drop down softly and bounce easily to your partner or to your opponents if you're playing a competitive game. But even in a competitive drop and hit game, usually there's what's called a courtesy feed to begin the point if you're playing a baseline game. So you need to be able to hit a courtesy feed even to an opponent. But if you're going to try to drill with a partner, somebody who's out there wanting to improve and practice, this is even more important. You have to be accurate, and you have to hit a shot, or a feed rather, that's easy for them to hit back for the sake of practice. Lastly, on the feeding, you don't want to bounce the ball first. Don't bounce the ball down and then hit to feed. Anybody who's good at feeding hits the ball out of the air. And if you ever want to feed quickly, if you want to feed maybe to a couple different people on the baseline and do a line drill, and maybe have them hit two or three shots across the baseline or whatever, if you need to hit quickly and feed quickly, you can't be bouncing the ball in between shots. So do yourself a favor. If you want to get good at feeding, first of all, get a continental grip. Don't bounce the ball. And then focus on lifting the ball to your partner or to your opponents. You should not be hitting the ball with spin. It should be a neutral hit towards your partner. Now, as far as drills, Charles, when you go out and practice, if you want to drill your partner or the person that you're working with, you want to focus and isolate a certain stroke and then work on just that. And when you do that, you want to have a specific target, and typically you want to make them move a little bit to practice positioning as well. And the most basic type of drill to do those things is a windshield wiper drill. And so on a ground stroke, for ground stroke practice, for example, you'd want them to start in the middle of the baseline, and then you'll feed out to one side or the other. If they're working on their forehand ground stroke, you'll feed out to the deuce side corner. If they're right-handed, they should move out to the ball, and you want to feed it so that they have to move to get there, and yet you don't want them scrambling for it either. And this is where kind of the skill of feeding comes into play. You want to challenge them a little bit, but not too much. You want them to have good practice. So you should feed. They should move out to the ball, make their stroke, and then wait and give them time to recover again back to the middle of the court. And then you'll feed again, they'll move out and hit, and then they'll recover. And so they'll go back and forth, and they should have a target over on your side of the court, trying to hit a certain number to that target or maybe a certain number in a row so that they have a goal to work towards. So there's some tips there for feeding and basic drill style. And drills are going to vary depending on what each individual person wants to work on. Basically, you construct your drill to work on whatever specific shot or stroke or point situation that the other person wants to work on or needs to get better at. And that's how you structure a drill.
The Essential Tennis Podcast is brought to you by
Bridgewater Medical Group. Is a multi-specialty medical group located in Bridgewater, New Jersey, and is your home for primary care, gastroenterology, sports medicine, and general internal medicine. They offer a broad array of on-site, state-of-the-art services to make your healthcare experience more pleasurable. Scheduled appointments are preferred, but physician assistants are available for walk-in care. For more information, call Bridgewater Medical Group at 908-722-0808.
For more information on sponsors of the Essential Tennis Podcast or to become a sponsor, visit www.essentialtennis.com. And now, back to the show.
Okay, that does it for the Essential Tennis Podcast, episode number 19. I hope today's episode was informative to you and also a help to your game. As always, if you have any questions about your own game, something that you need to improve on or that's giving you problems, you can always feel free to contact me directly through the website. Or if you ever have any questions or comments or feedback on the website or podcast in general, you can always contact me that way. Thanks very much for joining me today. And I'll look forward to being back again on Thursday for Essential Tennis Podcast number 20. Until then, take care, have a great week, and good luck with your tennis.